Thank you, choir and orchestra, and Miriam and our praise band. I invite you today to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. In just a few minutes, we're going to turn to Habakkuk, so that'll give you something to do during the service. So turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and we look here, we'll start with verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to God, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A man named A.J. Scott, who's an author, just became absolutely engrossed in wondering how many people he would have to thank for preparing and making the provision of his morning cup of coffee. That began a journey. And he wrote a book on that one subject. It's called Thanks a Thousand. As he did research, he said, I wanted to thank the barista. He said, I wanted to thank the coffee bean farmer, those who harvested the beans, those who shipped. And as he went on this journey, it took him across time zones into other countries, to other languages, and he stopped at thanking those who made that one cup of coffee at 1,000 people. He said this. He said, gratitude is the single best predictor of well-being and good relationships. He also quoted a Benedictine monk that said, happiness does not lead to gratitude, but gratitude leads to happiness. A.J. Jacobs has never been saved, but one thing that he has learned is the magnitude of gratitude and the life-enriching benefits. So this morning, I want us to hone in mainly on verse 20. As we talk about having a grateful heart, and a heart of thanksgiving is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. First of all, write down, our thanksgiving must be focused. Our thanksgiving, our gratitude must be directed to one particular person. Our thanks, our gratitude is due to God Himself. Notice what Paul says in this verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I sure was lucky. Or they say, well, I wish you good luck. I don't believe in luck. Every good and great blessing comes from God. He is the source. If you're really going to be grateful in your heart, there's got to be a thorough understanding of where our blessings are derived. We owe our existence to the Lord Jesus Christ. Might want to write these three things down. It's not in your outline. We got to be thankful to God for our creation. God is the one that allowed us to be conceived in our mother's womb. He's the one that gives us breath. He's the one that gives us our heartbeat. He's the one that gives us brains that function. We owe our very existence to Him, so we owe Him thanks for creation. Then we owe Him thanks for preservation. He does give us oxygen. He does allow us to have food. He does allow us to have clothing and housing. He preserves our lives. And then the third thing you want to write down is just very simple. The right of redemption. God sent His only Son to die on a cross, to shed His blood in a tomb 3 days and rose again so that we might have eternal life. So when you combine all those three together, you see that everything that we have, we owe our gratitude and our praise unto Him. Get a notebook sometime and list your blessings and thank Him first of all for your physical blessings. Start with the five senses. Aren't you glad you're able to see? Now, the older we get, the less you're able to see. Well, I was talking to a pastor friend's wife last week, and she said, yeah, Tom's doing great. She said, he's down to four different pairs of glasses. Said when he gets up, he doesn't know how he's going to see, so one of those four glasses help him to preach. Aren't you thankful that we can see colors? If you can't go to the mountains this time of year, just ride around Rome, Georgia, and look at the gorgeous leaves. Then be thankful for the ability to be able to hear. Now, sometimes we're convenient with that, but it's great to hear the laughter of children. It's great to hear music, whether it's a praise band or a choir, or a solo, a quartet, whatever it is, it's great to be able to hear. And then it's wonderful to be able to touch. You ever pick up a baby, a newborn baby? That skin is just so soft and so moist. I didn't say wet, I said moist. And it's just so wonderful to be able to touch. And then isn't it wonderful to have the sense of taste? Last weekend, our ladies' ministry had their brunch. And Delaine, for the first time ever, won one of the godly Christian ladies' home-baked strawberry fresh cakes. And she brought that home, and I just could not believe it. We were just thanking God for that. And so she said, let me give you a slice. So I had a slice of that fresh strawberry cake. It's the kind that you don't chew up and swallow quickly. You just savor it all the way down. And then when I got through with one piece, I said, darling, I need another slice because I think the taste buds on my tongue just lying to me right now. So give me a second piece. And then aren't you thankful that you're able to smell? Right now you're thinking about Thanksgiving dinner, wherever you're going. We're just going to be with six dysfunctional people at Thanksgiving this year, counting us. You may have 30, but if you go into your parents' home or where you've had a great tradition, you know when you open the door exactly how that food is going to smell. Be thankful physically, be thankful spiritually. You need to praise God for salvation. We need to praise God for the Scripture. We need to praise God for empowering us with the Holy Spirit. Praise God for a heavenly home in glory. Praise God for a church home. You need to praise God for your physical home here. Praise God for other believers. Praise God for your cars, clothes, food, cash, investments, whatever you have, for your family. I heard about a fellow who wanted to dispose of his house. He was just sick of his home. So he called a friend who was a real estate agent, and he said, listen, I want you to list my house and put an ad in the paper and online. And so the real estate agent said, give me a description of your house. He said, well, it's got 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. He said, it's brick. I replaced the roof last year. He said, I have expensive shrubbery and I have mature fruit trees in the backyard. So when he got through talking, the real estate agent said, I've been writing and here's what I've written. He said, beautiful 3-bedroom home with 2 baths and a good stand of grass in the yard and fruit trees in the backyard, a new roof put on last year, central heat and air, a remodeled carport to hold 2 cars, and he kept reading until the owner said, stop right there. He said, that's the house I've always wanted. He said, but I didn't know it till you wrote out the description. You know, if we just sit down and do likewise about the things the Lord has given us, we might look at life a little different. So the basic thing I want you to write down is this: Thanksgiving is simply a recognition that everything comes from our Heavenly Father. Second thing I want you to write down quickly is our thanksgiving must be flowing daily. Look at verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 says, always, continual in its duration, never ceasing. Jack Taylor was a great pastor and author, and he wrote a book entitled The Hallelujah Factor. And here's what he said. We need to make a conscious decision to be thankful. And then he says, we need to make the choice to rejoice like Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all this within me, bless his holy name. He made this comment about that verse in Psalms. He said David was giving himself a command. You bless the Lord with all that's within you. I command you to bless the Lord. This simply disqualifies anything in us that does not bless the Lord. As you say that over and over again before the Lord, he said it won't be long before you notice that everything which will not bless the Lord makes you highly uncomfortable. Listen to me carefully. Worry in our lives cannot bless God. Anxiety cannot bless God. Complaining cannot bless God. Premeditated, habitual sin in our life cannot bring praise, honor, and glory to God. Max Lucado has written one of the best books I've ever seen about worry. He entitled it Anxious for Nothing. And he said, gratitude is a mindful awareness of the benefits of life. It is the greatest of virtues. Studies have linked the emotion with a variety of positive effects. He said, grateful people tend to be more empathetic and more forgiving people. He said that grateful people are not self-centered. They're not materialistic. He said, they are not envious. He said, gratitude improves your self-esteem and enhances relationships, your quality of sleep, and the longevity of your life. He said, if gratitude came in a pill form, he said, it would be a miracle drug. Lucado told about a friend of his who was retired, 78 years old. He said, he and I play golf together a lot, and said he shoots his age, 78. And Lucado said, he beats me and just rejoices in it every time. And he said, in order for me to shoot my age in golf one day, I'm going to have to live to be 100 years old. But Lucado said, Jerry is always very friendly, outgoing, always telling jokes. But the thing that you don't know behind the scenes is he has a wife at home. Her name is Ginger. And Jerry's wife struggles every day because she's got Parkinson's disease. He said, most days when she gets up, she doesn't have any balance. So he stays there to care for her. When he's off playing golf, he has to get a caregiver. Lucado asked him one day, he said, Jerry, how in the world do you go around, and you're just such a people person and such a refreshing person to be around, you're always joking, when you've got this at home that y'all taking care of, Parkinson's every single day? He said, I tell you how. He said, I get my wife up every morning and try to help her get her cleaned up clothes, get her food, and said, then we sit down, we pray together, and then we sing one song before we get our day started from there. And he said, every single morning I ask my wife, what do you want to sing? And here's what she says. Count your blessings. He said, every morning we start out singing, count your blessings. Take a moment and follow Jerry's example. You counted the blessing of your friends. How about the blessings of the grace of God? What about the love of God? What about for the abilities, the spiritual gifts that he's given you, the skills? Look at your blessings. Somebody said this, when you start counting your blessings and giving your gratitude and your praise to God, it sucks the winds out of the lungs of worry and it leaves your life. Third thing I want you to write down is our thanksgiving must be comprehensive. Please notice Paul says that we're to give thanks. Look at this. This is very difficult. Always for all things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I can thank God for Breyer's ice cream and good health, but I have problems thanking God in the bad times. That's something we all wrestle with. Everything that happens to us is for a reason. If you've been listening to David Jeremiah, he's been preaching through the book of Romans, and most recently he's been preaching on Romans 8:28. Sometimes we give thanks for the gifts, but then we don't thank him for the crisis. Now look with me, if you will, for just a moment at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. You know these by heart. Rejoice always and pray continually. Down in verse 18. In everything give thanks. Now underscore that. I didn't write it, just read it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No matter what it is, the bad circumstances, he says in everything give thanks. No matter how deep the heartbreak, no matter how difficult the tragedy, he says, in everything, give thanks. When we begin to thank God, then we actually release his power to work in and through us. Let me give you some Bible-based illustrations in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you might want to turn there. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat. And you remember Jehoshaphat had an enemy, and the enemy was coming against him. And the enemy sent him a threatening letter. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been threatened? You probably were on the playground when you were a child, but have you ever been threatened as an adult? That'll get your attention. And notice here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15, here's the threat. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. There are people coming against you, but don't be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, that's a good starting place. When things start coming against you, or people start coming against you, you listen to God. You sit back and say, okay, number one, the battle is not mine, but it's God. Look at verse 20. It's God's. Look at verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now the Lord says, Jehoshaphat, I want you to know that the battle is mine. You're not to be afraid. But he says, you're going to have a part in this battle. Oh, well, Lord, if the battle is not mine, it's yours. What am I supposed to do? He says, your part, God says, Jehoshaphat, your part is to give thankful praise. When you go a little further, God says this. You're going to go into battle, but the first thing you're going to do is get the choir. And they're going to be out front as you face your enemy. And he said, what I want you to do is get them to just sing praises to the Lord. I don't want you to carry any spears. I don't want you carrying any knives. I just want you to put the choir out on the front. Just go out singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Just singing praise. Well, suppose Jehoshaphat had said, well, let's just wait a minute, Lord. I don't have anything to praise you for right now. We've got this enormous enemy coming against Israel. Lord, I tell you what, after you defeat the enemy, then we'll get the choir out and sing your praises. And the Lord would have said, no, you got to sing. You've got to have a thankful spirit before I move. And Jehoshaphat says, I can't thank you for these problems. And God says, all right, you just live with them and try to take care of the enemy yourself. But that's not what Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat believed the Lord, and thank God he did. Look in verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. So many times we say, you know, we're in a crisis. It might be cancer. It might be divorce. Maybe your child's in trouble. It can be a bad accident, whatever it is. You say, God, I just can't thank you for this. The principle here is when we start praising God in the midst of the storms, his power comes down. And Mark, the choir, and I just go back, this is a request someday. There's a song we used to sing, the choir used to sing a long time ago. And it was called, When the Praises Go Up, Then the Glory Comes Down. And that's exactly what the principle is right here. When you're in crisis, when you're in difficulty, make sure you continue to praise God, because that's when you're going to see the victory. We see in Genesis chapter 50, we see Joseph. And Joseph, man, he was in prison, really falsely. He was double-crossed. He was thrown into a pit. And all this went over a period of years. And then finally he becomes the governor of that part of the world. And a famine comes. And then he approaches his brothers. They approach him in Genesis 50, 20. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph, thank God, God's power came down and God's plan came to pass in his life. You may not be able to see God's plan in your distress, but I want to tell you that God always has a plan. Here we are in a nation and we see lawlessness. Have you thanked God for that? Whoa. We see people trying to take us towards socialism, which is a form of communism. Have you thanked God for that? Uh-uh. We see a increase in crime. We'll get to that in just a minute. Thank God in all things. Think about Habakkuk here for just a moment. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict all around. Looks like Habakkuk's been on a tour of the United States in the 21st century. Why do you let me see all this? And God, why don't you do something? Look down in verse 5. Look at the nations and watch, God says, and be amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. I'm raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They're a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. The Babylonians, the pagans are coming to take over Israel. Not only am I going to allow it, God says, they are my army. He says, you mean to tell me, God, that all these wicked people, you're allowing this? God says, that's right. I told you you wouldn't believe it. Habakkuk couldn't have figured this out. He said, God, what in the world are you doing? And God says, listen, Habakkuk, my ways are not your ways. I've got a plan. I know what I'm doing. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Habakkuk, you can't understand all that I'm doing, but I have a plan, and there is no panic in heaven. And you know what Habakkuk did when God showed him that? He did something we all need to underscore. He started to thank the Lord. He started to praise God in the midst of problems. Habakkuk put a smile on his face. And look at verse 17 and 18 in chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Giving thanks in everything. That doesn't mean we understand everything that happens to us. He says, you need to keep praising God because He knows what He's doing. But then you say, Brother Phil, when I give thanks for everything, does that mean I approve of evil? That I thank God for blasphemy and rape and arson and murder and war? God does not ask us to approve of evil, but He's asking us to trust in God's sovereignty. There's no panic in heaven. I want to tell you, every rainstorm that's allowed, every hurricane, every tornado, every sparrow that falls in the field, He's numbered every hair on our head. It's time we searched and started thanking Him in everything, and that releases the power of God in our lives. It can relieve the power of God in our nation. Sometimes when I wear a sweater vest to work, one of our younger staff members will say, there's Mr. Rogers. I'm glad I don't suffer from low self-esteem and insecurity, but I happen to like sweater vest. I don't know if you remember that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the movie was released in November 22nd, exactly, of 2019. Tom Hanks played Fred Rogers. Does everybody know who I'm talking about, Mr. Rogers? Well, Mr. Rogers did his little neighborhood show from 1968 to 2001. And then he died in 2003. It was amazing to me that Hollywood was celebrating this man and his work and the way he related to children across our nation several generations. The thing you may not have known about Mr. Rogers is his day started every morning at 5:30 a.m. Now, he lived during the days of snail mail. And every morning when he got to his desk, there were 50 to 100 handwritten letters from his fans. He had a track record. Before he did his television show, he sat down and he wrote back to every one of the fans who had sent him a letter that day. Snail mail. Now let me give you some high-tech statistics. The average person today receives 100 emails. Now, it might be Best Buy or enter the Dave Ramsey sweepstakes. But the average person only returns 25% of their emails. We reply to only 25%. Rogers wasn't dealing with email. He was dealing with snail mail. And he had a perfect track record from 1968 to 2001. That's just amazing. But you know, that record pales in comparison to our perfect Savior, who hears and answers every single one of our prayers. Yes, no, or wait. So when you inventory yourself physically, spiritually, materially, there's just one source. So this Thanksgiving, why don't you just celebrate your blessings? And make that as continuous as breathing every breath, every day. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank You for meeting with us today. It's just a simple reminder, but so very, very, very important. And when we think about it, praising You down here is just a teeny tiny rehearsal for what we're going to be doing at Your throne throughout eternity if we've trusted you as Savior and as Lord. If you're here today, or you're listening, or you're watching on your electronic device, and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're missing out on the greatest blessing you will ever experience now and throughout eternity. Jesus lived a perfect life. He voluntarily allowed himself to be crucified and shed his blood on Calvary's cross, and he rose again to provide the free gift of salvation. And whosoever invites him into their heart shall be saved. You need to turn away from your sins and ask Jesus in your heart to save you. Maybe you've already made that decision. You need to make it public. You need to be a candidate for baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, but boy, that's another act of thanksgiving and a public sign to everybody that you believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of the only Savior, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're without a church home. You know, if I were in your place, I'd make sure I was praying about that and I got peace about it. Because if Jesus comes before my appointment with death and the rapture takes place, I want to be found serving with a local body of baptized believers. So if you prayed about it, God's giving you peace. We're going to ask you to come today. We'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details. Before you leave today, just look around and thank. Just thank the Lord for the people seated around you. What an encouragement it is to come together for corporate worship and see this is a priority in all of our lives. Our neighborhood needs to know that. Our county needs to know that priority. Our nation needs to know that priority. Lord, we pray for our nation today too. We thank you that today we can worship without fear of persecution. But Lord, we need to get back to our foundation. One nation under God. We pray for an evangelical revival in America. We of all the people on the face of the earth ought to be on our knees for the way you've richly blessed us. And Lord, this is the most important time in this service. You're speaking to the hearts and minds of people. They're public and private decisions that need to be made. Pray they'll give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you need to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to ask you'll come forward. Ted will be with me here. Dan will be across the way. He's coming forward with the praise band. If you're uncomfortable coming forward because of COVID or whatever else, Dan will be at the Connect desk after the service. Ted and I will be at the desk in the Welcome Center. We'll be glad to discuss with you any decision that you need to make. If you're watching us on your electronic device and you need prayer, or you want to talk to us about trusting Jesus as Savior and Lord, just call the number on your screen, 706-234-1841. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.